The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 22nd, 2021.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. I'm going to start the show off just a little different this morning. I'm going to read a poem that I found. Actually, it's a prayer. And I just thought it would be a good way for us to all center ourselves and just, you know, it's the beginning of the week and, you know, there's so much going on in our country across the globe that sometimes we just have to kick back and just say a prayer or say something good to ourselves. And this is from the Mekong people. It's called a Mekong prayer. Creator, open our hearts to peace and healing between all people. Creator, open our hearts to provide and protect for all the children of the earth. Creator, open our hearts to respect for the earth and all the gifts of the earth. Creator, open our hearts to end exclusion, violence, and fear among all. Thank you for the gifts of this day and every day. Wow, just makes me feel good just to say those words. Well, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone will be Tina Rogers, who does Black History presentations through the spoken word. Since this is National Women's History Month, often in the past, our Black sisters are left out. And I invited Tina to come and talk about two African-American women who not only made history, but had a powerful impact on all of us. The two women will be Polly Murray and Bessie Coleman. And what's so interesting about Polly Murray, she was actually one of the co-founders of the National Organization for Women, which we have a chapter here in Sonoma County. And then Bessie Coleman was the first Black American to fly. Amazing. Just two amazing women. Also joining me on the phone will be Allegra Wilson, who is the co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project Deep Democracy Civic Team. We will be talking about an important event that is coming up this Thursday, 3 days from today, March 25th, educating the public about justice reform and the role of the district attorney via Zoom. You know, it is so interesting when I'm thinking about this one, the North Bay Organizing Project talking about the role of the district attorney. You know, we never even think of those things when we vote. You know, Ken and I were talking about how we vote in judges. We don't even know who they are, whether they're Republicans or Democrat or what their philosophy is. So it's very important as a culture, as a country, that we become educated. And I think this is a very, very important event. Also, I want to do a shout out. You know, March 18th was my birthday. And I want to thank everybody for all the wonderful, wonderful good wishes. And also a big shout out for the Zoom that we had, with the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. We had Lilith Rogers, who performed a one-woman show on Rachel Carson. Thank you all for attending. We had a huge crowd. It was an amazing event. And I was so proud of everybody showing up and showing interest in this very important work. I mean, when you think about Silent Spring, that was written over 50 years ago, warning us about the dangers of pesticides. And one of the things that really was stunning to me when I was listening to the presentation was way back when she wrote it, she was talking about the dangers of the monarch butterflies. And right now we hear that they're disappearing. We need to pay attention, folks. We really do. It's so important. You know, our whole planet is in peril. And when I think about the time and energy and money wasted on war instead of focusing on the environment, as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, and now a great-grandmother, I just get very upset. So we really have to start looking at our environment very, very closely, or we're going to become extinct. You know, she gave us some pretty strong warnings, and I would recommend all you women out there with your children, read them Silent Spring. Read it yourself. Remind yourself of what we are up against and why things have to change. Well, that's a lot to think about, but that's what I hope Women's Spaces does, is evoke some thinking as well as action. As women, we must come together for the sake of the future of our children and start thinking about that. I mean, it's getting more and more serious all the time. Well, as I do always, I'll have a little section called Our History is Our Strength. And I really love this section. And the reason I like it so much is because it reminds me how long women have been struggling. And it also reminds me how many successes we have had over the century. So let's look at March 21st. Debbie Thomas became the first African-American woman to win the World Figure Skating Championship, and that happened in 1986. I mean, how many championships, how many skating events have happened? And to think in 1986, finally, a young woman of African-American descent became the World Figure Skating Champion. Now, for birthdays, which I love birthdays, I really do. I think it's so important that we celebrate these people, even though many of them are not here anymore. On March 20th, 1985, and she made her transition just 2 years ago, Roma Acosta Bonzuelos, the 34th treasurer of the United States, where she served from 1971 to 1974 as the first Hispanic in that role, owner of a multi-million dollar business, Ramona Mexican Food Products Incorporated. And it's really interesting. We have on our Santa Rosa Junior College Board, just won the election, was Carolyn Bonzuelos. And here this woman is Ramona Acosta Bonzuelos. I'm going to have to find out from Carolyn if that's a relative. I think it's very, very interesting. And then on March 23rd, 1908, and she made her transition in 1997, Dominique, I love this name, de Manel, collector of modern art, medieval art, and tribal artifacts, escaped Paris with her children and settled in Houston, Texas, around 1942. She was a strong supporter of civil rights. She created the Carter Manel Human Rights Foundation with former President Jimmy Carter. What amazing things. It's just actually amazing what these women have accomplished. Well, I also want to do a special shout out to the Sonoma County Black Forum, who had a successful food drive giveaway. And this another demonstration of community members coming together and doing something, really doing something. Well, I have an announcement. I have two announcements to make here. And I got a flyer from the Black Student Union. And mark your calendars for April 2nd at 5 o'clock. They're going to have a Zoom. And you can go on to get more information. And the Zoom is going to be, by the way, on Women's Black History Month. And they're going to talk about several wonderful women, Mae Jamison, Vilma Rudolph, Kamala Harris, our new vice president, and also Bessie Coleman, a little more in depth. And then Michelle Obama. It sounds very, very interesting. And I encourage folks to attend. If you want more information, go to HSBSU2021! On your internet, and they'll give you more information, and they will have the Zoom information. But also, if you look on www.womenspaces, we will have the flyer and all the information you need. Excuse me. Also happening, like I said, this Thursday, March 25th, from 5 to 6, they're going to be having the to find out the role of the district attorney here in Sonoma County and all over. Just what does a district attorney? What are their responsibilities? When I first got this flyer, I thought to myself, you know, I really don't know. I don't know what the expectations are. So it's going to be very, very interesting to learn about that. Well, let's go ahead, Ken, and let's take a musical break. And, you know, the song that I'm going to play, it's an old song, Blowing in the Wind. It was written by Bob Dylan, and we're going to hear it sung by a woman by the name of Julie Felix. But what's so interesting about this song, it is just as relevant today as it was the day that he wrote it. And when we return, I will be talking with Tina Rogers, who does Black History presentations to the spoken word. And since this is National Women's History Month, and often in the past our Black sisters are left out, I invited Tina to come on talk about two African-American women who not only made history, but a powerful impact on our culture. That's Polly Murray and Bessie Coleman. So let's go ahead and listen to Blowing in the Wind. I just love that song, and like I said, it's just as timely today as it was when Bob Dylan written, and that was sung by Julie Felix, and I just love her arrangement on it. Well, for you folks just joining in, I want to remind you that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. People ask me, it's really interesting, what does the B stand for? Well, the B stands for I'm just sitting here doing the best I can. I'm a beautiful child of the universe, and I happen to be a beekeeper. I mean, what more can I say? Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. And like I said, I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest joining me on the phone, Tina Rogers. Tina, welcome. Welcome once again to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Happy Monday. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
and also, definitely, happy Women's History Month.
Oh, thank you so much, Tina. You know, you do all these presentations on Black history, and I thought, you know, here it is, Women's History Month. Come on, get on here and tell us a little bit more about some of these wonderful African-American women that we should be very proud of. So before we begin, I'd like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Tina Rogers is a native of Sonoma County, and she has devoted her life trying to understand this beautiful planet, the humans, and the other species that share our world. A true humanitarian, what she represents through research, education, and communication with other cultures allows her to see the big picture. While attending UC Davis, she turned her passion for the arts, fitness, and wellness into a popular example of master teaching not only children but people of all ages. She is a role model who enjoys using art education and fitness as tools to crack the code in child development that lasts a lifetime. I have seen her do many presentations on Black history through the spoken word and dance and found the experience to be both educational and inspiring. Very inspiring. Well, welcome, Tina. Again, welcome to Women's Spaces. Anything else you'd like to add about yourself?
Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, thank you for the introduction and also for just having me on. And what I definitely would like to say about myself is that I represent and bring in awareness and information and education for all cultures and all people. And so, you know, throughout my life, that's what, you know, I was doing is doing, you know, different cultures and different dances and different things, you know, for the Asians, for Women's History Month, because, you know, we've kind of followed these type of guidelines and curriculum in schools. So, you know, thank you so much for saying that.
Well, it's you play a very important role. And since this is National Women's History Month, and I,
yeah,
as a Caucasian woman, have noticed very, very clearly that oftentimes Black women are eliminated from historical aspects. And so I think it's very important that we talk about, you know, we're going to talk about two very powerful women. So let's start out with Polly Murray. Who was she and what is she known for?
You know, that's something that's going to be an ongoing, you know, ever-ending rabbit hole because, you know, Polly Murray is a very, very special person. And, you know, when we say was, because she did pass away in 1985. And so, you know, that's also, we'll refer to her as in the past tense. But, you know, her legacy lives on and on and on and on and on, you know, for many, many, many reasons. So let's start with, you know, first, her nickname is Polly. That's for short because her middle name is Pauline. So, you know, that's Anna Pauline Murray. And maybe the reason why she maybe called herself Polly is maybe about, you know, how she identifies as a human being herself. And we can get into that in a little bit. But she was born in 1910, and she was born in Baltimore, Maryland. And her mother was a nurse. Her father was not only an English teacher, but he was a priest. And a lot of times when we hear about Polly's story, you know, we hear that she was orphaned, you know, and I was, you know, one of those people also that would think, well, maybe, you know, they abandoned her, but that wasn't the case. You know, her mom had passed away when she was about like three and a half to 4 years old. And, her, and then there was like five other siblings. And so the father, he really couldn't take care of them. And then he had suffered, you know, some of his own medical issues where he was institutionalized. So Polly ended up, you know, splitting them up with her siblings and then going to her one of her aunt's house and was raised by one of her aunts that's actually called Pauline, I'm sure who she got her middle name after, and her grandparents. And, you know, she was pretty much raised in South Carolina and all. And so that's like the beginning of her story. But at that time, like, her aunt was also an educator, so she would bring Polly to her classes. And she did at the time teach in the segregated black schools. But, you know, she was teaching a sixth grade class. And Polly was 5 years old, but Polly was basically doing the same amount of work as the other sixth graders. And so it kind of started from there of already having that, you know, that background and that, you know, this is what, you know, I am and this is who I am. And all of that, just even though there was like a lot of issues going on with herself, like her self-identification, but her, I would say, her wanting to learn. And as wanting to learn, also her wanting to, like, help others. And that's how she really became, you know, who she is. You know, civil rights activist, lawyer, poet, priest. You know, there's so many different names. And, of course, you know, this is what you're, you know, I know that you're found on is, you know, co-founding the NOW Project. I mean, not the NOW organization. And that's huge. And so even though I'm, like, giving this information out, you know, I'm just trying to make awareness. But there, you know, she has a movie that's out that was at the Sundance Festival that is I Am Polly. You can go to the now.org website and, you know, /, and about, and, you know, put in her name, Polly Murray, and you'll find loads of information on her. And also, there, you know, there's a lot of different things. You can find, you know, quotes from RBG and a lot of other, you know, things that are going on.
It was very interesting, Tina, because when in the little bit of research that I did, I found out that when it was the civil rights movement about the integrating the schools, Thurgood mm-hmm. Marshall, she actually wrote the brief for that.
Brown.
Yeah, Brown versus Board of Education. She actually wrote that. And then also mm-hmm. what was so interesting is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you mentioned RBG, actually mm-hmm. gave her credit when she wrote the, when she presented the first case for equal rights for women. So, I mean, Polly Murray was very, very, very popular.
Isn't that amazing? You know, it's so, I'm so glad that you're, like, touching on that, too. And I love, like, conversating with you, Duane, because, you know, you love information as well. But, like, RBG, I'm just going to say that. What she said is that she stood on the shoulders of Polly.
Exactly.
You know, and she said that she was at the right time. And then her being, you know, a white, Caucasian, European-American woman herself, you know, she was able to do things that Polly couldn't do. And then at that time when it's like, hey, girl, we're here, we're moving on a little bit more, then that's when Polly really decided that she wanted to go into the priesthood, you know, to be a priest.
I know.
And so, yeah, and it's interesting. But you know what I found out also, Elaine, is that when Polly was entering that was because, like, one of her longtime, very, very good friends that had passed away, that she wasn't able to give the last rites because she was not a priest. And that's one of the things that really sparked her to go ahead and, you know, join the church and start, you know, that journey as far as, you know, her life is concerned. And then doing that. Yes, go ahead.
And also, you know, what I found, which I found was very, very interesting, that when she passed away, they found a special folder that where all the expressions she had, that she had to hide the fact that she actually was a gay woman. And mm-hmm. nobody, you know, that when that came out, I said, oh, my God, I mean, how we have come a long way, but it's women like her who have actually set the stage for us. So I want to say one last thing because I just want to do a little brag. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
She was actually one of the co-founders One of the co-founders. That means she sat next to Betty Friedan when they organized and started the National Organization for Women, the NOW. And I believe that she just needs a huge shout-out because oftentimes, once again, African-American women are not recognized. So thank you. That is really, really interesting. And then I want to go on to the next person, and I'll tell you, I am so happy that you suggested Bessie Coleman. Because Bessie Coleman, to me, you know what, I found a very interesting quote from her, and when you'll tell me, tell us a little bit about Bessie Coleman, then I'll tell the quote. Go ahead.
Okay. Bessie Coleman is like one of my favorite women to talk about because I love aviation, you know, and I'm into that, and I can talk, you know, later about that. But, you know, Bessie, she was born in 1892, and during her short life, you know, her 34 years. Now, this is a woman that, you know, pretty much was like, hey, I'm born, we're poor, my parents are sharecroppers, there's 13 of us, you know, by the time she's in her, you know, early 20s, she needs to get out. So she heads up to Chicago with her two brothers that were already there. And one of them, they were talking about, you know, how when they were in World War One over in Europe, and especially France, how all these women have, like, way more privileges. And they have, like, there's women that are pilots, fire pilots and different things during the war. And so that kind of, like, sparked her because, you know, pretty much at the time, she had to kind of, like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to beauty school and become a manicurist and work in a barbershop. And then she started to learn, you know, more things about that. But I found out also that prior to that, she did have some interest. But let's, like, fast forward to this. Okay, so by the time, you know, like, her quote is like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a pilot. And, you know, all the guys around there are kind of laughing in the barbershop, like, yeah, right, you know, keep filing nails and stuff like that. You know, that old braggadocious thing that happens sometimes. Well, she needed money, and she needed education, so she went and talked to the editor and the founder of the Chicago Defender, the Negro Weekly at that time. And so what he, you know, he sponsored her, gave her some money, and there was this other man that, you know, he had a bank out of Chicago. So they basically funded her, and they said, hey, you know, work hard. And she did, and she got a second job, and she studied French, and then she was able to get on the boat and get on the ship and go to France. Where she was able to learn, and, you know, within 7 months, she was ended up being the, you know, the first Negro woman to have a pilot license, but the first, you know, Negro person, male or female, to have an international pilot's license, and that's huge.
Wait a minute. One, I want to ask you. You mean to tell me she had to go to Paris?
Yes.
She had to go to Paris in order to get the flyer's license, and not in the United States?
Well, yes. Well, you know that first, being a woman, that really wasn't going to happen. And then at the time, you're a Negro woman. So then the Negro males that are coming back from the war, they're not teaching her. They're not showing her. And then every time she tries to apply for a pilot school, they're like, oh, no, you're a woman. And, you know, because of your color, your race. And a lot of people don't know that, you know, France is, you know, how we first got the Statue of Liberty, the original one. That resembles the African-looking woman. So that's something that, you know, your audience might want to research as well, you know, where that came from and how that was changed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's another show. Well, let me tell you, let me give you the quote that I was going to say,
okay, cool.
That Bessie Coleman quote. Two things she said. First one is, the air is the only place, listen to this, Tina, the air is the only place free from prejudice. That really struck me when I read that. And then the other quote I found is, I decided blacks should not have to experience the difficulties I had faced. So I decided to open a flying school and teach other women to fly. Come on,
yep.
Beth. Oh, my God. Bessie Coleman. Did you find out anything about the flying school? Or?
Yes, I did. And I'm glad that you read those quotes. I've seen I've read, you know, a lot of the stuff as well. After she died, within 3 years, like, one of her friends and, you know, aviation mates, he opened up the school for her. And so right now, there, you got a lot of stuff going on. You got places all over the United States that have things going on, like the Bessie Coleman Project. You can, you know, the Cradle of Aviation, a museum. They have something on her there. She's, you know, it's not only her school, but even at Sacramento City College, their aeronautical department, they have, you know, a tribute to Bessie Coleman there. And, you know, the National Aviation of Hall of Fame, you know, she's inducted in that. And I'll tell you, she is the reason why you had about 40% of, like, the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, follow, you know, kind of like more so in her footsteps. You know, she was a big, big deal. And what we're talking about a woman, so let's forget race, but we're talking about a woman who was flying. Then they were doing barnstorming and acrobatics, walking on the plane, pretending like they're playing, playing tennis. Some guys were out there hanging, you know, from the, you know, with a piece of metal, you know, in their mouth and just hanging like that. So she was doing all that kind of stuff. She had to go back to Europe because of, once again, racism and sexism. She had to go back to Europe to learn more mastery on how to do all of that kind of stuff, to be a stunt woman.
Amazing, amazing. Well, you know, mm-hmm. Tina, we're coming to the end of our segment, and we have about 2 minutes left, but I want to find out from you, as an African-American woman doing this research, how did it make you feel to find out about particularly Pauli Murray and Bessie Coleman? What were your feelings? What does it do for you, and what do you think, why do you think it's important that young people should get into their history?
You know, those are great questions. You know, number one, a woman's work is never done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your culture, your background. You know, that's the number one thing there. So that's always going to be, but it's inspirational. You know, and I'll tell you, you know, from Pauli, you know, I'm in education, and to know that basically she was behind the scenes of the civil rights movements even back in the 1930s, to know that she was like arrested before Rosa Parks because she didn't want to sit on a broken bus seat. You know, which, you know, today we couldn't do any of that. You know, almost have to wear seatbelts, especially for school buses. For me, you know, I've taken private pilot classes and instrument rating classes, so I'm waiting on to take my FAA courses, and I'm inspiring kids as well, but I'll, you know what I'm saying, I stand on Bessie Coleman's shoulders.
Well, Tina, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving, excuse me, such a wonderful presentation. Do you have a website or anything where people can get a hold of you if they want to have you do any presentations?
You know, the best way to contact me, which is easy because I kind of have a little private things going on, is Funky Style Street Dance. Just the way it all sounds. Funky Style Street Dance. At gmail.com.
Why don't you spell that out?
F-U-N-K-Y. Funky. Style. S-T-Y-L-E. Street. Dance. At gmail.com.
And a
Tina Rogers.
And a reminder to my listeners that that will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. If you need, Tina, to do a presentation or to find out anything historical, she's a good go-to woman. Well, Tina Rogers, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for bringing forward all that that wonderful information. We have a lot to be proud of. And I want to end with one last quote by Bessie Coleman, and that is, you've never lived until you've flown.
Yes. And that's for everyone. And I do want to just add one quick thing. You know, the audience can find me on Tuesday, April 6th at 6 p.m., I will be taking questions with Runner Park Police Chief Tim Mattis. It's open to the community, Sonoma County community at large. You can find that on his on the police department's website.
Okay, well, and will you email me that so I can put that on our website also?
Yes, I sure will. And I would like to thank you, Elaine B. Holt, and also to your fantastic producer, Ken. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tina Rogers. What a pleasure. Oh, my God, there's so much information in this world, folks. Well, we're going to take another musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is By My Silence, sung by Sonia. Listen to the name of I love the name of this group, Sonia and Disappear Fear. That's what we all need to do. And when I return, I will be talking with Allegra Wilson, who is the co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project Deep Democracy Civic Team, and we'll be talking about an upcoming event. So let's go ahead. By My Silence, sung by Sonia and Disappear Fear. Oh, Ken has not queued it up. You know, I really want to thank. Are you ready? Here we go.
1, 2. I'm not a communist, so when it came for the communists, I held my tongue. Like a good neighbor, I minded my own business and trusted justice was done. I didn't ask what was their crime. It was their sadness. It was not mine. I didn't care where they were sent. By my silence, I gave my consent. By my silence, I gave my consent. I'm not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars, herded like cattle into boxcars, and then taken away. I didn't ask what was their crime. It was their sadness. It was not mine. I didn't care where they were sent. By my silence, I gave my consent. By my silence, I gave my consent. I didn't care when it came for the unionists, came for the socialists, took the powerless. I'm not a terrorist, I'm not an immigrant, I'm native born, faithfully ignorant. I didn't care what was their crime, till their sorrow turned into mine. Till their sorrow turned into mine. I was okay, 'cause I am a citizen and I am free. I didn't care, now there's nobody left to speak out for me. At the time, I believed it never happened to me. Just what it meant. By your silence you give your consent. By your silence you give your consent. By your silence you give your consent. By my silence you gave my consent.
There's nothing truer than that. By your silence, when you say nothing and learn nothing, you're giving your consent, and you have no right to complain about anything. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest. Joining me on the phone is Allegra Wilson. Allegra, welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you. Good morning.
And thank you so much for coming on. Do you mind if, before we begin this conversation, I tell the folks just a little bit about you?
Not at all. Please go ahead.
Allegra Wilson is a longtime Santa Rosa resident. From a young age, she has been interested in political activism and lately has become more involved and passionate about making changes at a local level. Most recently, she volunteered for the passage of Measure P for law enforcement accountability, and at present is the co-chair of the North Bay Organizing Project Deep Democracy Civic Team. She also volunteers with her local sister district, Sonoma West Chapter. She lives and works in Santa Rosa with her husband and two children. Anything else you would like to add?
No, I think you covered it. Thanks.
Well, welcome once again. And let's start out, you know, we're having this, you know, I have to do a shout out for Jim Duffy for letting me know that this was happening. He's a great organizer here in our community. Let's start out by talking just a little bit about the, we're going to be talking about educating the public criminal justice reform and the role of the district attorney, but it is also being presented by the North Bay Organizing Project. So can you briefly describe the North Bay Organizing Project involved in this particular event, this educational forum on the role of the district attorney's office?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Do you mind if I quickly shout out our other co-sponsors as well?
Go right ahead.
Great. So there's, of course, the ACLU and Arlene Francis Center, Coalition for a Better Sonoma County, the Health Professionals for Equity and Community Action, NAACP Sonoma County, North Bay Labor Council, the Now Sonoma County Chapter, Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County, the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women, Sonoma County Conservation Action, Sonoma County Green Party, the SRJC Black Student Union, and the Wine Country Young Voters, all presenting this event. And as far as NBOP's involvement, you know, we really worked hard for the passage of Measure P to strengthen law enforcement accountability and recently voted a task force for police accountability. Deep Democracy, my initiative, works for a progressive civic engagement of youth, of BIPOC and LGBTQIA plus people. And we are very passionate about making change on a local level. So this work, all this work has a direct relationship to the role of the DA, since the DA makes so many decisions about whether police are investigated in situations where corruption or brutality has occurred. NBOP also is very involved in housing justice, and the DA can do things like choose to criminalize and punish homeless individuals or to provide diversion.
Well, you know, before we continue, as I was listening to that list of co-sponsors, I said to myself, my goodness, we have so many strong groups in this community. And it feels like people are coming together more and more working together. And I really want to give, you know, Susan Shaw of the North Bay Organizing Project, I have to give her a shout out. I remember when they first came on board, I just think it's an amazing how she has helped build that organization. Well, talk a little bit about, give us a little thing. You talked briefly a little bit. Talk about what will be discussed at the forum, and again, why do you think it's important for people to know what the district attorney does? Because I know for myself, when I announced it, the first announcement, I said to myself, I never even thought when I'm voting, I mean, I think about judges also, we know very little about the role that the person, you know, we don't know the job description. So tell us, why do you think that's so important, and what are some of the things that are going to be covered at the seminar?
Absolutely. So a rundown of the forum, just quickly. We have some great presenters, Chris Andrian, Christine Burke, Tracy Carrillo, are all going to be presenting, facilitated by Yoel Hiley. And we're going to talk about what are the roles, or they're going to talk about the roles and responsibilities of the district attorney, what the critical issues involved in the debate about progressive prosecutors are, what kind of information voters should know about candidates for the district attorney, and some of the specific topics that we are going to hear about are police accountability, charging decisions, ending incarceration and restorative justice, and sentencing, resentencing, and parole. So there will be a lot of really great information. The why part really speaks to who we are in Sonoma County. I think Sonoma County voters have shown that they really want reform. In 2014, we voted to convert many nonviolent felonies to misdemeanors. In 2016, we voted to decriminalize and regulate marijuana. And then in 2020, Measure P passed with two-thirds of voter approval, which is enormous. So voting for a progressive DA can kind of keep us on this path to changing the way public safety is perceived and upheld. DAs have the power to lower rates of incarceration by using restorative justice programs. They, in San Francisco, the DA recently created a conviction integrity unit that reviews wrongful convictions, which is something that we don't have in Sonoma County. We could really use that in Sonoma County. DAs can choose whether or not to prosecute and incarcerate children. And in fact, the Progressive Prosecutors Alliance has a specific recommendation about treating kids like kids. DAs make decisions about whether to investigate law enforcement officers when they abuse their power or use force against the community or commit other criminal acts. There's a huge range of decision-making power that falls within the district attorney's purview, and voters in Sonoma County really deserve to understand how their choice of DA can impact and align with our values. I think those changes, too, have a ripple effect. In San Francisco, they have a very progressive DA. They've reduced the number of people they're sending to jail, and they're seeing crime rates fall with that reduction.
Let me ask you a question here. Is the district attorney, is she or he independent? I mean, everything that you were saying, you know, I'm thinking as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, wait a minute, does she work with the sheriff and the local police, or is that position independent where it can actually make its own decisions, or it actually puts decisions down that the other law enforcement areas have to adhere by?
They really make their own decisions. They, of course, have to have a working relationship with the other branches of law enforcement and criminal justice. So I think that can create some, you know, some challenges if you want to really get stuff done. It's work to do, right? However, the decision making really falls under the district attorney's power. So they're independently making those decisions.
Well, that is so interesting. You know, we never really think as voters, we don't think that much in depth. You know, we hear, you know, one of the things I try to say during election time is, you know, pay attention to, you know, who has the most ads, and ask yourself the question, what is that ad going to support, me or the person that's running and the people that are paying for the ad? But I never thought of looking at job descriptions. You know, that's what I think that we're talking about. What is the job description of that particular office, and what qualifications do they have to be able to meet that? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think that's really true. And I think a lot of these really important roles we don't know a lot about, and it's hard to even know what to look for, like you said. So I think that's why forums like this are really great, because it's an opportunity for us to learn more about, you know, you see a name next to the DA slot and you go, I think I've heard that name, I think I've seen that name. But even when you go to do your research, it's kind of like, well, where to begin? So I'm hoping that this forum gives us that where to begin.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. In this era of criminal justice reform, social justice, and police accountability, you know, why not give us a little checklist? Do you have a checklist? I mean, what should we look for? Because right now, particularly in Sonoma County, I don't know about the other counties. I need to do a little bit more research on it. I know, when is the next election for district attorney? I know that our first elected woman district attorney, Jill Ravitch, is not going to run again. I think she's had three terms, and now we're going to be electing a new district attorney. When is that going to happen? And can you give us a little bit of a checklist? And then we're going to talk a little bit more about this, about the seminar that's coming up on March 25th.
Absolutely. So the election is 2022. I couldn't give you a date off of the top of my head, but we will be voting in 2022, which sounds like a far away time, but you know how elections go. It'll be sooner than we think.
Oh, it's already March 22nd. What are you talking about? we're just flying through the year.
We are. We totally are. I think for me, what voters can be aware of is, part of it is just listening and learning, right? So when we hear people talk about public safety, when we hear candidates describe public safety or being tough on crime, I think we have to think about, who do they mean? Who do they mean by the public? We, almost all of us, either know someone who's had contact with the criminal justice system, or we have. All those people are members of the public. Our shelterless neighbors, they're all members of the public. Black, Indigenous, people of color, all members of the public. Protesters are members of the public. We all deserve safety, and we all should claim our right to public safety. So I think we have to really listen not just to the words that somebody speaks, but really see what's behind those words. when the district attorney makes decisions to uphold Sonoma County values, like law enforcement oversight and accountability, and decriminalization and decarceration, we can listen and learn about candidates whether they're willing to take those steps. Those steps are really towards becoming the community that we've shown that we want to become, where we don't see children as criminals. We don't. We support people who are having difficulties in their life, as opposed to locking them away and trying not to think about them, and where we give innocent people the chance to be cleared. So I think those are some of the things that I would listen for, especially oversight, accountability, decriminalization, decarceration, juvenile justice, and the ability to have criminal records reviewed and restored if needed.
You know, it's just, as I listen to you, it's just common sense. You know, it really is. And I think also to question and to observe is really, really important. So I thank you so much for that. So let's talk a little bit. We're coming to the end of our segment very quickly. I mean, the clock in here, I don't know, it's a magic clock. It goes by faster than most clocks. You're having this forum. It's called Educating the Public, Criminal Justice Reform, and the Role of the District Attorney. Now, you mentioned the forum panelists, and I'm looking at the list here. You know, Chris Adrian, she's a partner and she's a lawyer. You've got Christina Burke. She's also a defense attorney. Tracy Carrillo is also a partner with Anderson Miller and Moskowitz. And then who is Yoel Holly? She's going to be is that a man or a woman?
Yoel is a man, and Chris Andrian also is a man. Yoel is a criminal justice program manager for the ACLU of Northern California, and will be facilitating the event.
So give us the times and what is your overall thought? I mean, what would you say to people that would inspire them? Why do you think it's important that they should Zoom in on this, and where can they get all the information?
Absolutely. So the forum is this coming Thursday, March 25th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. There's a link to register on the ACLU website at www.sonomaaclu.org. And I think this is just such an excellent opportunity to continue the change in Sonoma County that we have been voting for. I think that it will really be educational for the public. I think it's so important for us to learn more, like you said, about these job descriptions. What can this person do, and how can they keep perpetuating our values that we care about here in Sonoma County?
And it's so interesting when you have to vote for people. You know, how do you find out these things? I mean, that's why forums like this are so important. It gets us starting to think about things. And when you're listening to attorneys, they're the ones who have to deal with the criminal offenses oftentimes. And we need to hear from them. We need to understand what they need. How can folks find out information? I mean, how can they get the Zoom information and anything else about the event?
Sure. All the event information is available at the ACLU website, www.sonomaaclu.org. And there should be a link right there to register, and you'll get the Zoom invite in your email after you register.
Well, all that information will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. And in ending, Allegra, I want to find out a little bit more about you. I want to find out what is inspiring you. I know you're a mother. You have two children. What are they, boys, girls?
I have two boys. I have a 3-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they absolutely inspire me to try and make the world a better place and to try and make it a more fair place. For sure. I think, you know, parenting has been really eye-opening for me to see see the world through my kids' eyes, and to see how different it could be and how much better it could be, and also just to try and make it that way.
What are some of the other events or other things that you're involved in?
Well, I would say NBOP, Deep Democracy, is really a really exciting project. We're working on civic engagement, so we are keeping an eye out for any and all local meetings where there are opportunities to make progress. So things like public safety, we are hoping to see more and more like Kahoot-style models in terms of policing. We would like to see like more progressive DAs. We're involved in what's going on in the schools. So really just keeping an eye out for ways that we can make our progressive values seen and heard throughout the county.
You want to give us your website for them, how people can find out more information?
Absolutely. I think the best place to go is just the North Bay Organizing Project website, and that is www.northbayop.org.
Well, Allegra Wilson, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, and I'm going to want to tell my listeners just one more time. There's going to be this Thursday, March 25th, from 5 to 6:30 p.m., a program educating the public on the criminal justice reform and the role of the district attorney. And it's very important because in 2022, I imagine there are a lot of counties that are going to be having a vote for district attorneys again to really to pay attention. And we hit 5 counties here, so don't be shy. People should also, you know, if you'd like to attend, just join the Zoom. And you can find out information and register at it's bit.ly/SonomaDAE event. And that will be on Women's Spaces, so you will have all that information. And any last words that you would like to add? We have 1 minute. We have about 2 seconds left, Allegra.
I would just say thank you so much, Elaine, for this space and time to talk about this event and for your space and time doing this program. It's awesome.
Well, thank you, my friend, and much, much success. I look forward to this forum, really look forward to it. Anyway, folks, that's it for our show. A special thank you to Tina Rogers for bringing the story alive of the lives of Pauli Murray and Beth Coleman. All the information will be on the website, www.womenspaces.com. And to Allegra Wilson for helping make history in this historic time. All information on the Zoom this Thursday, March 25th, educating the public about justice reform and the role of the district attorney. A reminder again, all the information you heard on this show will be listed on www.womenspaces. Also, if you want to wish anyone a happy birthday, anniversary, birth, etc., write me at elaine@womenspaces.com, and I'm happy to announce it. A reminder, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again this evening at 11 p.m. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own program. Remember, the children are our future. We must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to the next time. Is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 22nd, 2021.